Welcome to Ayurvedic Healing and Beyond podcast.
So sleep is one of the most underrated health pillars that we know. In my practice, which is close to 2 decades, I have observed whenever patients come and tell me, "Doctor, I live very healthy, I eat healthy, and I am exercising every day, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't eat that much sugar," things like that. But they come and tell me, "But in spite of all this, I'm having autoimmune conditions or hormonal imbalances or thyroid issues." When they talk about these things, one of the things that I have noticed, which could be common, I'm not saying in everyone, but I have seen majority of the patients that I have seen in my practice, they have a problem with their sleep or they are sleep deprived. Now, when we are sleep deprived, what happens is, no matter how good all your other good habits are, it has the potential to cancel out all your other good habits. So when people say, "I do everything great, but I'm a night owl, I don't care about my sleep because I can take care of," but usually it's the other way around. I have seen patients, they may have, but please, this is, don't take it as a medical advice. I've seen patients, they may not have a lot of healthy habits. Maybe they are into unhealthy habits, but their sleep hygiene is fantastic. And that could shock absorb, like a shock absorber, that could absorb some of the negativities of the other unhealthy habits. Now, please don't think, because my sleep is good, now I can go and indulge in other unhealthy habits. That's not what I am trying to explain here or advise here. I'm talking about why sleep is so underrated in today's health advices that people are giving. Yes, now people are talking about the importance of sleep like never before. Now, what is happening after the invention of light bulb and too much of light at night? You see, too much of light is a big enemy of good sleep. Mental engagement at night is a good enemy of good sleep. Because when your thoughts are so engaging, or maybe you are watching some entertainment, what happens is your sleep will become slightly impacted. Now, you have this lot of smart rings, or, you know, sleep apps that, you know, when you wear a smartwatch or a smart ring, you can check how your sleep is. So what some of the findings are, when people engage in a lot of mentally stimulating activities at night, their heart rate drop is very delayed. Usually a good sleep means their heart rate drop is very immediately after they go to the bed. The HR rate, the heart rate drop is quite quick, like within half an hour after they go to the bed. But sometimes if it takes more than 2-3 hours, sometimes people struggle to fall asleep after they are lying down. They don't know, they are thinking about all the things, they are not able to sleep well. That's usually because before they go to sleep, they had a very mentally, thoughtfully stimulating activity. It could be watching a movie that they got really engaged, or watching a football match that they mentally engage. I've personally been a victim of that. Sometimes when you watch a late night sporting activity or some news or some movie that is very mentally stimulating, that can lead to sleeping quite late. And also maybe you don't ease into bed quite easily. So this is my best advice. If people want to have a sleeping therapy with doesn't have any invasive method where you don't take any medicines or supplements, or some people love magnesium. They say that when I take magnesium, it helps. In Ayurveda, people take ashwagandha or tagara, or we have a medicine called Manasamitram Vatakam. Don't take any of it without a proper support of a qualified healthcare professional. But however, the point that I'm trying to say is, if you want a non-invasive therapy to sleep well, the best is to read something very boring. And don't read on the bed. Sit somewhere close by, which could be comfortable or not comfortable. But the idea is, when you lie on the bed and struggle to fall asleep, like the Pavlovian dog, we start to associate, "Oh, bed is a place where I struggle to fall asleep." Instead, move away from the bed and do something very boring, like reading a book that is very boring, where you have to struggle to comprehend what is written. It will slowly tell your brain to shut down. Shut down in the sense, you might want to, you know, doze to sleep, to have a good sleep. So this is one method that has found a very powerful way to entering a deep sleep quite quickly. The other methods, you know, one is to prepare yourself after 7 or 8 p.m. avoid mentally stimulating activities. And I've seen patients when they do exercise after 7 or 8 p.m., their sleep is also disturbed. So it's best to do exercise morning if you have a difficulty falling asleep. But at the same time, I've also seen patients, they tell, oh, whenever I watch news, I go to sleep. Luckily, they have found a way to connect, like the Pavlovian dog, same way. They have associated, when I watch a news, I go to sleep. So this is also another method that you, if you are associated, if you're associating watching news is helping you to go to sleep. Because I know my nephew, whenever we put a particular Carnatic music, he go to sleep immediately. Because he associated that music and sleep. Same way, many people have trained themselves to making themselves believe, I am a night owl. I struggle to fall asleep. Because sleep is one of the natural, you know, talents of a human body. Just like you have hunger or you feel thirsty and you drink water, same way. Sleep is a natural process of the human body. Unless there is a real certain disease or otherwise. Otherwise, most of it is a trained behavior. They just train themselves that I am a night owl or I am not following this. Now, let me talk about night owls. Why do people say they are a night owl? Usually, if they have a tendency of, you know, being surrounded by a lot of distractions, and suddenly at night what happens is they feel that nobody is disturbing them. So they are having complete focus to do something because there's no disturbance, no distractions. And on top of that, when you stay awake late at night, there is a release of cortisol. Because after the melatonin that was released to induce sleep is not being used, when you miss that wave to surf to go to sleep, what happens is there is a release of cortisol that keeps you alert at night. Because our body, through evolutions, whenever people are staying awake late at night, means there is some fight or flight requirement. So because of that, maybe today you are staying awake late at night for entertainment. There is no need for any emergency situation. Maybe you're just watching something that is for entertainment purpose. But still, for the body, staying awake late at night leads to release of hormones that will keep you awake and alert. So when that, on one hand, you feel alert at night, on other hand, there is no distractions. So you do this 2-3 times and then this becomes a confirmed bias. I feel alert at night. And I feel very good at night. So this has become your trained pattern. So usually, biologically, there is no evidence saying that some people are night owls and some people are not. However, after sunset, we are designed to sleep early. And also, if you don't have any entertainment, I've seen people say when there is no entertainment, or people when they are with their partners, they say, when my partner is there, I sleep early. Otherwise, I tend to watch mobile phone or watch televisions or watch some movies and I stay awake very late at night. So there is a lot of environmental triggers that can keep you awake late at night or help you to sleep. So the best thing is to identify the triggers that make you sleep late or sleep difficult and identify the triggers that help you to sleep well. So identifying these triggers, so some of the surrounding system that will help you to sleep well. After 7 p.m., 8 p.m., no exercise. Maybe a gentle walk is good. Eat early at night, 3 hours gap. Try to finish your dinner before 8 p.m. Some people say 7 p.m., maybe that's not so easy, especially if you have a working culture from 9 to 6 or 10 to 6. So by the time you come back and immediately eat. So try to eat by 8, latest by 8:30. So you can go to sleep maximum by 11, 11:30. Okay, in Ayurveda, we have this concept of Kapha Kala, which you need to sleep before 10 p.m. I have seen really healthy patients who go to sleep by 11 and they get up by 6. And I've also seen, it's not necessary that, you know, I have to sleep by 10 o'clock. I've seen patients going to sleep at 11 and getting up by 6. But however, if it goes beyond 12, I've seen they're sleep deprived. I've seen somewhere there are issues. But again, We are yet to have any concrete study that says that after 12, if you get, you know, go to sleep, people could look healthy. Maybe there are some genetic factors or other things that makes them healthy. However, the point is, if you can sleep not later than, if you can sleep latest by 11, that will be the ideal thing. For some people, 9 o'clock, my mother, by 9:30, she has to fall asleep and she gets up by 4. She's been trained like that from her childhood. So it just works for her. So in many of the people, the upbringing also helps. So sometimes I get patients, especially teenage kids, you know, brought by their parents. Doctor, my son is not sleeping. He sleeps at 2 a.m. Or my daughter, she would have been diagnosed with issues like PCOD or other hormonal imbalances. But when you ask them, what time do you go to sleep? Go to sleep at 1 o'clock, 2 a.m. And sometimes when patients, especially those coming with telling that, doctor, I'm not able to lose weight. I eat very healthy, but still I'm not able to lose weight. And I could see they have a tendency of late night sleeping or their sleep hygiene is very disturbed. Most of the patient, when they say this calorie deficit method of losing weight doesn't work for them, it is usually a resistance for letting go of the fat because of their stress. And that stress could be a lot induced by not sleeping properly. So that's why in many of the patients, when I get patients in Sitaram, they come and say, doctor, I am just not able to lose weight. Can you tell me why? And if I notice in their medical history and their habit lifestyle history that they have a tendency to go to sleep very late at night, I don't focus so much on diet. I rather focus on correcting their sleep cycle, sleep hygiene. I somehow convince them, or maybe in some cases, hypnosis works fantastic. In some cases, just doing yoga nidra works fantastic. Like there was one patient who told, I have a fear of going to sleep at night. I feel that what if somebody breaks into my house and I have a problem? What if I go to sleep, then I am at the mercy of somebody could come and hurt me. In those conditions, if there is a fear induced, if I let go and sleep, because sleeping means you're completely letting go of yourself. You are at the mercy of surrounding safety and security. Of course, even though they will be really safe and secure, but still, what if, that question keeps haunting them. In these conditions, I have noticed hypnosis works fantastic, but not in all conditions. In some of it, it's just a trained pattern. So what I do is after 8 p.m., no entertainment, no mobile phones, they finish their dinner by 7. I even record a yoga nidra for them. But even though when they follow yoga nidra, we tell them, don't go to social media or anything. Just listen to it and doze off. Now, yoga nidra has many new names now called non-sleep deep rest. It's a way to help you to, it's like an auto-suggestion that you are telling your body and muscles, relax your jaws, relax your neck, relax your muscles in different parts of the body. This way, you're slowly turning it. It's like a lullaby. Sometimes movement helps. You know, you tap the body of a baby and somehow the baby goes to sleep. The same way, it's like an auto-suggestion to your brain, to your each and every muscles and tissues and joints in your body. You are commenting. Because when we tell, slowly, can you become aware of your hips? Otherwise, we are never aware of it. It's just a way to consciously become aware of each and every part. So this is one of the non-invasive methods to help people to go to sleep. One is yoga nidra. One of my first episodes of my podcast, Connecting to Your Inner Healing Methods, it's an auto-suggestion. This, some people say that they listen to this and it helps them to fall asleep. So if it helps you to fall asleep, fantastic. Sometimes even patients say, oh, I love your podcast, it helps me to fall asleep. That's another way. So in today's world, a good sleep is one of the most underrated healing mechanisms. Like even when it comes to liver health, when you don't have a good restorative sleep, it can lead to a lot of liver health issues. So that's why good sleep is paramount. In Ayurveda, we have this concept of Trayobastamba, the three pillars for longevity with vitality. That is, one is Nidra, Aharam, Brahmacharyam. And the first one is Nidra. And Nidra means your ability to go through a good recovery through sleep. Or it could also be a nap. So that's why, why sleep is so important, because many people, if they fall under the spectrum of, I do not know, even though I am living very healthy, I'm eating healthy, I'm doing a lot of healthy things, I don't have unhealthy habits. But if your sleep is deprived, that could cancel out all the healthy things that you are doing. And the vice versa, when people come and tell me, doctor, he does a lot of unhealthy things, but still he looks quite healthy. Maybe his sleep is very good in spite of doing unhealthy things. But that doesn't give that person a guarantee. Sometimes that unhealthy habits will catch up sooner or later. But A good sleep is like a great foundation for a healthy longevity. So find out, be your own detective. Identify what are the triggers that makes me not sleep well. For some people, it could be engaging in activities. Or some people, I've noticed, if they work out very late at night, after they come back from work, they go to work out at 8 or 9 p.m. I've seen some patients, they come and tell me, what time do you exercise? They go for a high intensity interval training at 9 p.m. For sure, their sleep is going to be disturbed, or their heart rate drop is going to be very delayed, because it takes time for the body to recover from that. So if you sleep, but by the way, whatever I'm saying, it's only applicable if you feel your sleep needs to improve. And also, the duration is not what is important. The time you go to sleep is very important. The ideal time, if you can sleep, some people before 10 p.m., for some people, not later than 11 p.m. This is what I recommend. There are people who manage it by 12 p.m. and they are fine with it. But that's not the question. If you want to improve, try to prioritize by 10 p.m. and not later than 11 p.m. And then see, a healthy person is tired at night and wake up fresh in the morning. So if you are awake and alert at night and grumpy in the morning, this is where many of the hormonal imbalances and many of other autoimmune conditions, which we call it idiopathic in nature, could have a potential triggers and sources from. That's why we need to be tired and lazy and grumpy at night. That makes you to fall asleep. And we need to be alert and looking forward for the day in the morning. By the way, it's not like the moment you get up in the morning and you're super alert. It would take some time, maybe half an hour. But you don't feel like you wake up jet lagged or hungover. You wake up like, I'm looking forward for this day. You wake up light in the morning. And that's a trained process that you need to continue. There are multiple supplements. For some people, they love magnesium. I've seen patients who take magnesium and they say this helps. But please get a proper consultations with a healthcare professional. For some of my patients, I just prescribe this medicine called Manasamitra Gulika. This really helps them. For some people, they take ashwagandha. Ashwagandha definitely is not for everyone. If you have tendencies of constipation or bloating, I don't recommend ashwagandha in some of them. For some people, Tagara really helps for them. And we even have a combination of all of this that I recommend in some people. They take chamomile tea, or the smell of lavender helps. For some people, listening to Yoga Nidra helps. Some people listening or taking a shower at night, this helps them to have a good night's sleep. And also the temperature of the room plays an important role. So all of these matters. And be your own detective to find out what helps you sleep well. And one more thing, if you struggle to sleep and if you're eating right before you go to sleep, this could also impact your sleep. Try to eat early. And some people, when they say, I don't have a problem falling asleep, but I get up. Maybe at 2 a.m. I get up. And then I don't know. Then I'm wide awake and I think about solving all the problems in the world. There are multiple reasons. Some people, they could get up because they want to go to the bathroom to urinate. So I tell them, avoid liquids before you go to sleep. So that, you know, maybe you take your last beverage, maybe tea, or maybe without tea, without caffeine, or maybe hot water, or whatever you're drinking. Avoid alcohol for sure. If you're sleep deprived, alcohol will make it worse. But if you're drinking some liquid or maybe just water, try to limit not later than 6 or 7 p.m. Because if your bladder is full, it is going to wake you up in the midnight, and then you could go to the bathroom and switch on that bright light. I know some smart people, they say they put red lights in the bathroom so that light is not so strong on them, so they can go back to sleep immediately. But if you put a bright light, that could impact your ability to go back to deep sleep immediately. Maybe you'll struggle also. But there are people, in spite of that, they will go to sleep. But if it struggles you, try to limit your beverages right before you sleep. And I've seen some people, when they say, I get up at night, one of the mistakes that they do is, as soon as they get up, whatever time they get up at the midnight or early in the morning, they look at the clock. And if they see that they are wide awake at 2 a.m., that whole purpose of watching the clock was to understand, is it going to be a waking up time, closer to waking up? And if they realize there is still 4 or 5 hours, or even 5 to 6 hours more that I need to find sleep, that stress itself will defeat the purpose that, oh, I need to go to sleep. So I always tell my patients, please don't look at the watch. Just keep an alarm and keep it far away. And the alarm will wake you up at the right time. But if you keep it close by and if you look at the watch and by any chance you get up at 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. and you realize you still need to have a good sleep for another 4 or 5 hours, this could defeat the purpose and you might get into a low-grade anxiety at early in the morning. So one method is not to look at the watch. The other thing, sometimes I've seen patients, they say that no matter what, falling asleep is never a problem, but they wake up. This could also happen when people have a very light dinner. So when they have a very light dinner, there could be a tendency of glucose crash. I personally found this in myself. I was using one of those glucose monitors just to understand how this works on people. And when I had a very low carb diet, and I had 3 hours before that, and when I go to sleep, maybe at 1 o'clock I get up, and then I got up like wide awake, and I wanted to solve all the problems in the world, and I'm not able to go back to sleep. And I tested this, I had a glucose crash as per this. And then that's when I realized it's okay to have carb-rich, good complex carb-rich food, but not immediately before you go to sleep, at least 2-3 hours before you go to sleep. This will help to make sure that you are sleeping throughout. So one is to look at your nutrition also and maybe consult with a doctor to get an idea what will be the best nutrition for me, or even a dietitian or a health coach will help you to really put you through what is the best protocol so that you have a good sleep. And there are other methods. One is to use coconut oil, or we have this oil called Kshirabala, where we put it in our palm and apply it on the Brahma or the crown chakra point, or even a foot massage or a massaging your feet and your palms. This can also help you to have a good night's sleep. And all of this put together, find what works for you. Not one can work for everyone. For what could work for one person need not work for the other person. So you'll have to find out. At the same time, be your own detective. See what works for you and what doesn't work for you. I hope this helped you to understand how important sleep is and how you can improve your sleep.
Thank you for listening to Ayurvedic Healing and Beyond.